News, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Satter is where he needs to be to make sure that he does another fabulous week of producing for us. So we appreciate his help and hard work. Matt Cotrillo is our news director here at WKOK. On the news line with us now, we have Dr. David Lapitovsky. He's the Chief Medical Officer at UPMC Susquehanna. Welcome on board, Doctor. Thanks for calling in today.
Absolutely, Mark. Thanks for having me.
I want to begin with the end in mind here and talk about something that's a very, I think, potentially tragic phenomenon, and that's the large number of individuals who are not going to the hospital when perhaps they should. So tell us about this growing dilemma of folks fearing going to an ER.
Yeah, across the country, Mark, surveys have shown that patients have been concerned and somewhat fearful of going to the emergency room or the hospital, either for testing or evaluation or for appointments or for planned surgery, out of fear that they may become infected with COVID at a hospital setting.
And to be clear, many things have been canceled at hospitals, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about individuals with symptoms or, maybe their very earliest phases of a heart attack or stroke or some other medical dilemma, choosing not to go to the hospital because they're concerned that the hospital, you know, looks a certain way or has something else going on.
Exactly, out of concern, you know. So, during the initial stages of the COVID pandemic, surgeries have been canceled, all but emergent and urgent surgeries. Now, across the this part of the state, regular surgeries are now becoming rescheduled. But patients who have symptoms, we found both locally and nationally, have delayed care, either for a heart attack, a stroke, an infection, and they've come to us late for care with complications that could have been avoided had they arrived when their symptoms first started. So we are educating patients that it is safe at our hospitals. We do have a significant amount of screening, obviously the required masking. We've greatly limited visitors, and the visitor restrictions are severely reduced. All of this to keep our patients safe. All people, including staff entering our facilities, have a temperature check at the time that they arrive within the facility. So there's been extensive safety measures. And what we're trying to reassure patients is that our hospitals are safe and that you could feel reassured that your chances of getting an infection within a hospital or emergency room are very, very low. Not only has Pennsylvania had a lower number of infections than many cities or states that patients may see on the news, but this part of Pennsylvania in particular has had a very, very modest, and we've been very fortunate and blessed that it's only been a small amount of infections that we've had here. To date, through all six of our hospitals that spans the five counties right up to the New York border, we've only had less than 10 patients with COVID in all of our facilities since mid-March. So it's been very, very few here, and we feel very fortunate and thankful for that.
All right, which kind of leads me to my next question, and that's that we certainly were braced for a widespread pandemic, and we did everything we could to make sure that we didn't spread it among ourselves. We participated in stay at home. What's your view on the fact that the resulting low numbers kind of make people think, second guess, whether we should have stood down at all, or maybe we did this unnecessarily?
Yeah, I think it's hard to predict a lot of those things. We'll never know, I think, in hindsight. I think for sure the social distancing and the opportunity to not pass things to one another has really been beneficial, and I think it's slowed things down significantly. How long it's gone on, I think, is a debate that we may have to sort out as time goes on. It really makes a difference. I kind of use the analogy or the metaphor of, when we get together over the holidays many times, in Christmas and that, we come back and we picked up an illness that a nephew or a niece may have had or another family member. those things really happen when we get together in events like that. And that's why social distancing does help. I mean, the science is right about that. How long it goes on, I think it's hard to say. And I think how long COVID goes on is hard to say as well. I think we do need to prepare that this COVID will be with us for some time, and no one knows for sure how long this will go on until we really have some type of immunity or a vaccine that we can use to slow the spread.
Feel free to say, I don't know if that's the answer, but are we anticipating a surge, you know, an increase in cases at any point in the future?
I don't think so, but it is really hard to say. And we know that the person-to-person contact, if you look in concentrated areas, New York City being a good example, or if the larger events start happening, thinking of things like conventions and concerts where there's many, many people together. If we go back, we trace every patient that has been positive in our community, and many of those were exposed in either travel or group settings like that where they were around others who was ill. So that's why the social distancing, that's why we did this. And that's a national policy, and many other nations did the same, of course.
Yeah, we talked about your hospital's tracings. One of your staffers said UPMC did tracing before it was hip. I thought that was
exactly.
Kind of funny.
Yeah, we started that. We knew that the department of health does that, and we knew that they were going to be very, very busy throughout the county and throughout the state and others. So we started doing that ourselves, and it's been a great quality effort, and we'll continue to do that going forward.
I see President Trump either tweeted or said overnight, I'm not sure the source of it, but that we'd have a vaccine by the end of the year. UPMC, of course, is one of the research groups in the Pittsburgh area that's doing research on this. Can you bring us anything light from within UPMC on the idea of either UPMC's vaccine or someone else's?
Yeah, it's very exciting. UPMC does have a vaccine under development. They were one of the first to start this, and it would be a non-injection type of application. It would be like described as like a Velcro patch that you would wear for several hours on your skin, and that would develop the immunity. It's early stages. They're going to the second phase of testing and then the third phase after that. We know that vaccine development is very, very tricky and nuanced, and I believe right now there's over 150 potential vaccines in development. No one knows when they'll be available. I think we'd be very fortunate, I think, if it was before year-end, if one does come on the market, because these are very tricky things. And, you know, Ebola was one of the vaccines that was the earliest to get to market, but others have taken, you know, many months, if not years. I think no one knows, but we'll keep. I think there's many bright people working on that within UPMC and outside of UPMC as well.
All right. As I mentioned, we're going to end where we began, and that's talking about the fact that hospitals are a safe place to go, and you want people that are considering a hospital visit to follow through and to do that if necessary. I hate to be morbid about it, but is it a fatal issue that people are delaying care?
We've had some patients that certainly had some impact. I'm not sure if it was fatal, but certainly had some impact on the severity of their illness and the complications of the illness for delaying care. But you know, time is of the essence for things like heart attacks and strokes. We talk about the golden hour for many treatments, that the sooner the better, especially when it's something like a clotted artery that's supplying a heart or a part of our brain. And certainly for other injuries, time does make a difference. And that's why we have emergency rooms and ambulance services and state-of-the-art care, both here and throughout the country. So we do tell patients if they're having symptoms, don't delay. It is certainly safe to be at the hospital facilities and the practices and the emergency rooms.
Well, with the low numbers we've had, hospitals, the last place you find anybody with COVID-19, so that's Lawrence's worthless humor for the day. Name some of the issues that people aren't going to the hospital for. You did mention heart attack, stroke, and I think you said infection at one point. What else would you avoid going to an ER or a hospital for, or even one of your urgent care facilities, if you had a medical dilemma? What else are some of those issues?
Yeah, I think they're the main ones, but certainly we've had folks with pneumonias that have been late to care. problems like gallbladder issues, appendicitis that's been delayed and was not treated as soon as it could have been, which led to a longer hospital stay and a more challenging surgery to perform that for the appendicitis. Those are the kinds of things I think mostly, and they're the large amount of the kinds of things that we treat in the emergency rooms in an urgent type setting like that.
All right, and we'll give you the last word. Anything else to add to all of our questions and your answers? Anything to add?
I would say that the trend has been very reassuring and favorable. I think the fact that this part of the state is opening up is favorable and encouraging, and we're pleased to hear that as well. Again, I think we have so much to be thankful for, and we've really been blessed with our low incidence. We certainly prepared for the worst and have extensive processes in place should there be a new uptick or a surge in the communities that we serve. We're just thankful to be able to provide the care that we provide.
Well, thank you so much for your information and your time. We really appreciate it. We thank Tyler Wagner, too, out there at Susquehanna, UPMC Susquehanna, for making sure that we had opportunity to talk to you. Thank you, Dr. David Lapotofsky. We appreciate your time today.
Sure. Thank you, Mark, and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Dr. David Lapotofsky, Chief Medical Officer at UPMC Susquehanna.